Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, your boy Bryson DeChambeau tells GQ his goal is to live to at least 130.
I'm Tony Kornheiser, 130, huh? You know what Larry King calls that? A young punk.
And you know, he's right. Larry King's right. But Tony, more importantly, let me ask you to stake out your position on DeChambeau. You with him or you not with him?
Well, I think he's the most interesting guy on the tour right now. I mean, some of the things he says are crazy, like the stuff about anthills the other day. But what I really want to see is, can he overpower the PGA course? You know, it's Harding Park in San Francisco. I want to see if he can do that. But I do find him interesting. And I know you can't stand him, right? You can't stand him.
I can, but I find him interesting in a weird kind of way.
All right. Crazy old man in his own attic, as you can see, this is day 104, I believe. In today's episode, the Lakers beat the Clippers, Zion sits out the fourth quarter, and the NHL gets set to drop the puck. But we begin today with baseball and news that two Cardinals players have tested positive for coronavirus, and the Cardinals-Brewers game, scheduled for this afternoon in Milwaukee, is postponed. The Cardinals are now scheduled to play the Brewers tomorrow, and then play one of those seven-inning doubleheaders on Sunday. Wilbon, what are your thoughts on what happens next?
Tony, I think my immediate thoughts when I heard this immediately were, baseball's over soon. How is baseball going to continue to do this? We're talking a weekend, all right? 8 days. Baseball started 8 days ago, tried to restart its season. And we've had so many cancellations, like 20% of the games have been canceled or postponed. So what are we talking about here? And then my next thought was that what is football thinking? I mean, if baseball, where people can be, you know, 100 yards away from you, if baseball is struggling to stage these games, what the hell is football, pro and college? What are they thinking? They're not going to be able to do this. And I want this to happen, Tony. I want baseball to straighten up and fly right. But I just, how can it happen when you have results like this seemingly every day now?
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with baseball because your issue is football all the time, and it's not mine. This feels like an escalation to me because if one team goes out, it's really two teams because they've got to play somebody. I assume there's a number above which you trigger a shutdown. I don't know that we've reached it yet. There's 30 teams playing. So if three or four or five teams can't play for a limited amount of time and as many as 10 teams are out, 20 teams are still playing. But, Mike, if you get to eight and 16 teams can't play, that's more than half the league. And you know, so like you, it feels like we're on the verge of something bad. But by the same token, it's still only one team in the East, Miami, and now one team in the Midwest, St. Louis. I would urge them to press on. I think you feel the same way.
Yeah, but yes, I do. Now, the but. 20% of the games, Tone. It's 8 days.
Yeah.
You say it's only one team. It's only one team here and one team here, and it's 8 days.
Yeah.
They can't get it right.
Yeah.
And, Tony, so no. Look, and I'm looking. It's not that I'm more concerned with football. I love baseball. I loved watching, you know, the Cubs win a three-hit shutout on opening night, and I wanted to see more baseball. And, you know, Tony, the situation is you have to look at all of it, the condition of the world, of the United States, particularly in totality. And what you've got is an inability, whether it's the larger culture or the subculture like baseball, to control, to contain this virus unless you're using a bubble. And so
that's right.
So
the bubble seems to work. The bubble seems to work, and baseball players very rigidly say, we're not going to be in a bubble. Okay, so this is what is happening. But the games go on. I'm anxious, for example, to see the seven-inning doubleheaders, to see if they work. I didn't think I would like the man on second, nobody out in the top of the 10th. And I did like that. Like you, I am fearful, but I'm happy that the tests have been relatively low, positive tests relatively low, and I'm hopeful they can contain it, although I don't think they can.
Yeah.
I think people are going to give up at some point, throw their hands up and say, okay, we're done.
Yeah, and that's going to be just another sort of a dip, another low point where you just go, my God, how long? And the question is, we don't know how long. Let's move to reopening night in the NBA, where a bubble, of course, where two Western Conference favorites, the Clippers and Lakers, faced each other in the marquee matchup. Before the game, both teams took to the knee during the national anthem. Then Anthony Davis went out and put up 34 to lead the Lakers to a two-point win. Said LeBron of the unusual setting for the game, quote, competitive spirit is competitive spirit. We got right back to where we left off, close quote. Tony, do you see the result as significant?
Significant is an interesting word. For the second time in a row, the Lakers have beaten the Clippers. And this was a game, and I'm going to point out some statistics here. The star players played like it was an important game. Kawhi played 33 minutes, Paul George played 34 minutes, LeBron 34 minutes, and Anthony Davis 35. So to me, the implication is that coaches and players thought this was an important game, and the Lakers won it. Now, I am not suggesting that the Clippers can't beat the Lakers, but I am saying in the last two times they've met, they haven't. And the LeBron quote where he says, we got right back to where we left off, I don't know that that's true, but if they believe that, that's a significant advantage for the Lakers.
Well, Tony, I took it, and this is just sheer interpretation, that LeBron was talking about the intensity of the games and the night, plural.
Oh.
And how it looked
and how it felt.
Not okay. Just the team on a winning streak. But you know what? You may have interpreted it the correct way, and I could be wrong. But my interpretation, watching both of them, first of all, I'm watching these games, and I'm going, my God, I didn't expect these games to have this intensity and the star players playing this many minutes and playing this well. And it was contentious. Guys were looking at each other, yapping at benches, yapping at the referees. It had the feel of something really intense, Tony. Now, I got to point out, you say it's the second time they beat the Clippers in a row. It is. I was at the first one, the last weekend of the regular season that was played, you know, before the stoppage. But, Tony, last night, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, two of the Clippers,
right,
six most important players, they were out. If those guys are playing the last week of September, when these two teams figure to meet again in a conference final, it plays out differently. I'm not going to say the Clippers are going to automatically win, but it plays differently right. If those guys are on the floor. Same
totally
with Rondo,
agree.
By the way, if he's
players.
Back for the Lakers.
Yes, they're important players, and if Williams can stay away from strip club takeout, that's fine.
Wings,
I would
baby,
point
wings.
This out, though. At the moment, the Lakers, I believe, are 6.5 games ahead of the Clippers. But without fans and on a neutral court, it doesn't matter because games 1 and 2 and 5 and 7 are played on the same court as games 3 and 4 and 6. So it doesn't matter. We'll stay with the NBA. The early game last night saw Utah come back in the fourth quarter and beat New Orleans by 2 points. New Orleans is one of those teams artificially thrown into this restart to try and get Zion Williamson into the playoffs for TV purposes. So, Wilbon, what is the more important story here? That Utah won or that Zion played only 15 minutes and was not on the court at all the last 7 minutes and 19 seconds?
Well, we're going to go different ways on this because I am not as Zion obsessed as a great many people, including you, are. And I love him. But I don't watch him I'm not going to exclude the rest of the league to watch Zion. That's just not my deal. And so I was as interested last night, Tony, in Brandon Ingram continuing to look like he might be the most improved player in the league on that same team that Zion's on. And I also wanted to see how Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert were going to interact. We know when we left the regular season and we saw Rudy Gobert's involvement, we thought he and Donovan Mitchell might have to be separated and sent to neutral corners. That's what there was some speculation about. And by the way, they hooked up for the last 2 points, the winning points, as it turned out, Gobert free throws of that game. So I'm looking at all of that. And Zion, you know what? David Griffin, the general manager, president and GM of New Orleans, I know David Griffin well enough to know that he knows what the hell he's doing. And so if he and the medical staff have decided here's how it's going to go with Zion, that's how it's going to go. And I might second guess 28 other guys. I ain't seconding David Griffin. And so that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen in the next game, too. It's going to happen as long as they feel Zion needs to pace himself to get back into full rhythm.
So I don't know David Griffin at all, and I don't revere him. You know, I mean, I just don't know David Griffin. I will say that Zion's line was very interesting. He was 6 for 8 from the field, which is very good. He had no rebounds, which is impossible. He's just too big to not get any rebounds. And I believe he was a minus 16, which is bad. So you ask yourself, is he healthy? I don't know what the reporting is here. I don't trust anything that any team in any sport tells me. I mean, in any sport, any team because they have their own self-interest. Zion says he's healthy, but David Griffin said he's not going to play any more minutes in the next couple of games. Alvin Gentry said last night, there's a direct quote, "I was told the minutes he could play, and that's what I did." So here's the problem. If you want to see him in the playoffs, not on the pine, but actually on the court in the playoffs, you can get a play-in game if you finish ninth and you're within four games of the eighth team, right, Mike? But they're 11th at the moment. And I'm not sure that without Zion playing more minutes, like he was playing 33 before they broke down the season, I'm not sure they can get to the play-in game. Are you?
No, Tone, I think that's a perfectly valid point. I would just counter briefly with this. Do I want Zion from now until October 12 in a bubble? Or do I want Zion for the next 12 to 15 years in my uniform, threatening to win a championship by carrying a team on his back? I know what I would want if I was running the New Orleans Pelicans from the owner on down. I would take my time with this kid, and I do not want to see him affixed to a bench like Bill Walton down the road years and years and years after. No, I don't want to see that. I'm going to err on the side of caution.
They may be looking more long-term than the people in New York that are looking for television ratings, which they haven't had in 4 months because there have been no games. Let's take a break. But coming up, another major sport restarts tomorrow. What should we expect from the NHL?
And later, does the NFL have a good solution to the dangers of transmission from officials' whistles?
Is that what we're talking about now?
Everything's a concern, Tom. Everything.
Wow.
How about that?
Does the NBA worry about the officials' whistles? Because they're blowing the whistles.
Didn't know of this as of last night.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
One more headline. The NHL restarts its season tomorrow in the double bubbles of Toronto and Edmonton. 24 teams will take part in the postseason, beginning with a combination of round-robin play for the leaders and best-of-five series for the laggards. Wilbon, do you expect this structure to serve the sport?
Tony, I expect the sight of hockey returning to serve the sport. And, you know, you never know what the structure of the playoffs, and they're not even entering exactly into the playoffs in the NHL. They'll get there shortly. But things like Pittsburgh versus Montreal in Toronto, Tony, I think that's interesting, even though fans won't be there, of course. The Blackhawks drawing Edmonton, a matchup with Edmonton in Edmonton, seems like a short straw. The NHL is going to use the EA Sports library of noise in terms of what viewers will be able to see in these games. There's going to be a designation called unfit to play. So if you got an ankle injury or you test positive for COVID, unfit to play is going to be the designation. You're not going to know anything more than that, and it comes from the league. And the Blues are going to get their sniper, Tarasenko, back. He had a shoulder injury. He's going to be back, so they get more firepower for the Blues. They wouldn't have had him if it had been a normal situation and date with the return of hockey, Tony, with the continuation. So I'm just, like basketball, I'm excited to see the NHL, and I think it's going to look brilliant, the use of the way they've closed off the arena. It's going to be like a TV studio with ice in the middle. I think it's going to be kind of cool.
So I have a small quibble, I guess, and that is with this round-robin play to determine seeding of the top four teams in each conference.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You take Boston. Boston's been the number one team in all of hockey. They're 8 points clear of everybody else after 70 games. Not after 30, after 70 games. And if they falter in this round robin, they could draw a much more difficult opponent. I don't know how fair that is. But this is overshadowed for me, Mike, by the fact that these are actual playoffs. This is not basketball with remaining regular season games. This is not foreplay. This is best 3 out of 5. Let's drop the puck and let's go. And the I guess the only other quibble I have is if you finished 5, 6, 7, 8 and you would normally be in what we consider to be the only playoffs, you could be eliminated before the draw that you normally would have gotten. But again, because it's playoffs, I'm good with that.
But it's not all playoffs, Tony. The 1 through 4 that you talked about is
yeah,
not playoffs.
Like
Boston
right.
has to go out against Tampa. The number 2 seed,
yeah,
St. Louis and Colorado, top 2 seeds. And in the West, you got Vegas and Dallas. In the East, you got your Capitals and Philly. Those aren't playoffs. They're still jockeying for position and for seed. The 5 through 12 are playoffs, but not 1 through 4. So there's elements of both, and it just makes the NHL more confusing as its postseason almost always is. And I hate that. They, like the NBA, should have put the 16 teams out there in each sport that should have been real playoffs.
Let me get to one thing. You talked about the library that they're going to have for noises. One of the noises they have is fans booing.
Yeah.
And it has been said that Gary Bettman knows they're going to play fans booing when he presents the cup. If he knows that and he does it, good for him.
It would be good.
Good for
cool.
him. Let's take one last break. Still to come, did Tom Brady just get a significant new weapon for the Bucs offense?
And the Rockets and Mavs face each other tonight. Which team is more intriguing? I know what Vegas is.
Well, one team has larger people.
Yeah,
one
well,
team has
everybody
6'5".
There's high school teams yeah. have larger.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Happy time, people. Happy 45th birthday, Gabe Kapler. The San Francisco Giants manager became the first major league manager to kneel during the anthem in social protest recently. Kapler had the backing of the Giants organization. Kapler comes by his activism genetically. His mom and dad met while working in the anti-war movement in the 1960s. Kapler was born and raised in Los Angeles and was a 57th round pick who defied the odds and went on to play 12 big league seasons as an extra outfielder with a .268 career average for 5 different teams, including the world champion 2004 Red Sox. In 2014, Kapler was named director of player development for the Dodgers, and he had all the minor league affiliates and the big club switch to serving organic food and take junk food out of the clubhouse. Wilbon would have gone crazy. He managed the Phillies the last 2 seasons and was fired with a record of 161 and 163. The Giants quickly scooped him up.
The Phillies never should have gotten rid of him, Tony, but let me just say this. You and I have been in a lot of major league clubhouses in our lives. How would that organic thing have gone over with, say, Tommy Lasorda? How would that have gone over in a clubhouse with Sorda?
It's a new world, I guess. Happy anniversary, Trevor Bauer. On this day last year, at the trade deadline, the Cleveland Indians sent their right-handed ace to Cincinnati just days after he threw a ball over the center field wall in reaction to getting pulled during a rough inning against the Royals. Terry Francona went to get him and can be seen asking, "What the bleep is wrong with you?" As fate would have it, Bauer is due to start against the Indians next Wednesday, which has gotten him into a clever social media back and forth with his pal, Indian starter Mike Clevenger, who will start against him. Bauer described the matchup as, quote, son versus father and, quote, child versus goat. Clevenger came back with Sunshine, which is Clevenger's nickname, versus guy who threw ball over center field wall during meltdown. Bauer, ever the provocateur, responded, quote, my son, Shine, versus guy with Cy Young votes. Bauer is somewhat of an iconoclast. He did not get along with UCLA teammate Garrett Cole, and he has gone on Twitter and railed against Rob Manfred and called him, quote, a joke.
In years past, I thought Bauer was a guy I wouldn't like. He would just be an irritant. But he's funny and entertaining, and he's independent-minded. So how can you hate Bauer for long? You can't. Although you can see why Terry Francona would just say, what? What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. Happy trails to Philadelphia for a bunch of Marlins. After an 18th player tested positive for coronavirus today, the Miami Marlins are getting multiple sleeper buses to take their infected players and coaches back to Miami. In all, the Marlins have had 18 players of their 33-man travel team plus two coaches test positive in the last 8 days. All Marlins games have been postponed through Sunday so far. The rest of the Marlins remain in Philadelphia. The Marlins may end up playing in Baltimore, then busing to New York for the Mets, then busing to Buffalo for Toronto. In that case, the Marlins would not return to Miami until August 14th for games against Atlanta. But Miami-Dade County currently requires a 14-day quarantine for people coming into the area from New York, which is rich considering Florida has far surpassed New York for virus cases. And by the way, who really wants to drive these Marlins sleeper buses 1,000 miles to Miami and into a hurricane?
Forget the hurricane. Who wants to drive what amounts to a corona bus? What are you talking about? Why can't they just put these guys on a flight and go the requisite 2 hours and 15 minutes from Philadelphia to South Florida? What is the pay scale? Do you have an agent that negotiates your salary for driving 2 days with corona patients? Are you kidding me? Who does sign up for that?
Two omissions. The NFL suspended Antonio Brown 8 games for multiple violations of its personal conduct policy, and the Pac-12 is planning on a 10-game conference-only football schedule starting September 26th, Mike.
I read all this stuff because I'm a maniac college football fan, and I sit there going, okay, if they start then, they finish then, they get... No, it's a waste of time, Tony. All these dates are just bogus.
I will say this. I thought Antonio Brown would get more than 8, and he's now back in play for the Ravens if Lamar Jackson wants to make a big deal about it. So stay tuned on that. We go to the big finish. 2 Bengals and 1 Jaguar opted out. Is this a big deal?
Yeah, Tony, it's north of 30 people now, 30 players north of that have opted out. What are they trying to tell us? LeSean McCoy joined Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, your boy Gronk, on the Buccaneers. Is this significant?
Some years back, it definitely would have been when LeSean McCoy was a great, great player. I don't know if he's still a great player. I think he had 4 touchdowns last year. Pro Football Talk reports that NFL refs will have the option of a push-button electronic whistle to prevent droplets. You gotta like that idea, Mike.
I do like it, Tony. How soon before the other sports adopt it as well, realizing no droplets is a good thing? Cleveland starter Shane Bieber. 27 strikeouts, no runs allowed, 2 wins and 2 starts. You're impressed, right?
Very much so. Can we get him on the Nats? Very much so. Last one, Celtics, Bucks, Rockets, ooh, Mavs tonight. Whoa. Which is the better game?
This is officially a ball night. Both these games, to me, already a must watch. I'm going to go with Rockets, Mavs, Tone, even though Giannis and the Bucks are in game one.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts.
Good night, Canada. Keep those bubbles rolling. They're doing good work.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.